God is with us. That's what I wanted to talk about this morning, because Advent is a time that we prepare ourselves for the grand entry, if you would, into the world as we know it, by God Almighty. Because God literally parted our image of reality and materialization in human form, that he came and dwelt among us. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. It's a phenomenon. It's no wonder it makes our mind just kind of hurt sometimes as we try to wrap our heads around what theologians call the incarnation. Theologian is not anybody special. All a theologian is a professional fellow that's trying to understand the thoughts about God. We're all theologians, us who believe, and we're always working to try to understand really what's taken place and how God loved us so much that he sent his son into the world. So what we're really doing then during this season is acknowledging the occurrence of this new reality that God is with us. After all, the actual incarnation happened many, many years ago, but God's new reality remains in our hearts if we were willing to accept and embrace it. If we do embrace God's dynamic breakthrough, I think all of us are looking for breakthroughs in this time. We assign God's enormous presence and power as a supernatural finesse, if you would. God is with us, and the supernatural takes place of our psychological and our spiritual landscape, but also our grasp into the physical world. We are in the world, not of the world. Jesus reminded us of that all the time. Jesus is more than just a historical figure of the past or a mere great teacher. No, we must accept that developing a close and intimate relationship with him is possible. Jesus as your friend. We'll pick that series back up in January. But God will shift our mind's eye, and then we'll undergo a radical change in our spiritual life and our physical life. So what will it mean? I don't know. That's exactly what this takes place. So it's so hard for us. They talked about it in Scripture as repentance or a change of heart or a change of mind. It's really hard for us to do that. There's a Greek word that simply means that, and I'm not going to pronounce Greek words anymore because I get them all messed up, but I got a book that tells me when I run across these Greek words in Scripture, it tells me what the English meaning is, and it's simply repentance. And it means that we're making a mind shift as I change our mind. How many times have you changed your mind over the years about a lot of different things? So repentance and changing of the mind is a good thing. And if we become aware of our situation and we humble ourselves within this world that challenges us to see beyond ourselves in a sensory experience and understand our spiritual growth, our inner shalom, if you would, and our relationship with Christ, it'll profoundly change us in our vision and our lives. The way we see things and the way we treat others makes a big difference. And it all comes about when you have that shalom enter into your life. And that's what John was saying. John the Baptist, they called him. And he was very prophetic as his voice rang out through the wilderness of a very barren and dusty place with people with very barren and dusty hearts. So that time of repentance was so important. There's a psychologist by the name of Carol Dweck, and she made a book about the mindset, and she illustrated about human beings. I always find it fascinating how we're always trying to figure ourselves out, and if we can't figure ourselves out, there's somebody to write a book to help us figure ourselves out. But this book here really does the job. But anyhow, she was talking about how we as a people can have a fixed mindset and relying instead on stubborn belief patterns. We allow ourselves sometimes to remain unchallenged or unchanged with that fixed mindset. Judy says I'm hard-headed, so maybe that's my fixed mindset. But on the other hand, those who develop a growth mindset are not afraid to fail, show vulnerability, authenticity, transparency. So this growth mindset in people are not afraid of things, and they learn to use their failures as a learning opportunity for growth and for change. Same thing happens in the life of the church. We're going through change now, but we're going to work through it because God is here. God is with us. He'll give us the wisdom and the grace to keep on keeping on. And it's not about numbers. It's about the hearts and the minds of the people that we're ministering to so that you in turn can go and share that good news and say, hey, come to church with me and we'll be able to help you experience the growth that's taking place in your life. Because we have a biblical mandate to encourage one another. But how often does one move from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset? Because it often involves some kind of confident change. And I think sometimes one that encounters or experiences provoke a shift in our thinking. I call it a twist and shift, if you would, like Chubby Checker, let's do the twist. But in this case, it's a twist and shift as we change our heart and our mind. But before the arrival of Christ, John the Baptist experienced his prophetic warning, and he began the process 6 months before Christ came into this world. John the Baptist was born. And he made sure that everyone who came understood this new ritual of baptism or cleansing. He understood it was not simply an act of repentance. It was not only just a verbal commitment, but you had to have a total mind shift about God, a life that would be changed and cleansed, and a different time of behavior, because our behavior also is either good for us or bad for us, and we have to make that choice. And when we got bad behavior, Mama used to come around with a little switch and she'd straighten our behavior out. But as we get older, it's the Holy Spirit that'll help us straighten out our bad behavior. I don't think any of us want to have a bad behavior. So, with that change, new ways of seeing God in the world that we live in comes as a new way of living. Before they were called Christians, we were called the Way. Jesus is the way to life and how we can have it more abundantly. And he shows us the way. So, in a sense, John's call is a call of challenging our authority to let go of empty traditions and actionless values and to accept truly a relational faith. We have a personal relationship with the living God through Christ. It is the most fantastic thing that you can ever imagine. We are the only, if you call you the world religion, that has a personal relationship with the Creator. So John kept going through and challenging people to encounter Christ face to face in order to teach and to guide us and to heal us so that we would experience not only to have a faith, but to practice a faith. I always like what the lawyers and the doctors do. They're always practicing. Well, Christians are the same way. We're always practicing our faith. To love, to give, to share, to mentor, to care for, to empathize with, to accept and to cherish each other the same way that we cherish God. So John's message was a shock message to the people. And we must challenge ourselves in the faith to claim hold to it. Because his baptism with water may be a symbol of the people's commitment to change, but the real change would be affected by HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, and the winnowing fork that they talked about, separating the good from the bad and the evil and all that. So no one who merely feigns at faith will actually ever fool the Son of God. Jesus said, you know, some of those that come to me and said, Lord, Lord, I never knew. You can't fool Mother Nature or you can't fool the Son of God either. Because you have to have a true mindset and a true heart change. And if you don't, he knows it, but he's willing to help you work through it and to have that peace, that shalom that passes all understanding. So what John would start with in his call, Jesus would finish with his powerful healings and teaching, and those would find it hard to turn around would need a very powerful hand, the hand of God in the person of Christ to do that twist and shift to a point of view and shock them back into the fold. I always like that parable of the 100 where the good shepherd went after the one sheep that left the flock. He left the 99 to go and find that one. But if that one don't want to come back, the good shepherd will go back to the 99 and let that one go in hopes that that one that was let go will find the peace that they're looking for. And if they don't, that wooing, as John Wesley always talked about, would woo them back into the flock. That's the hope and the joy and the peace that we have. But both John and Jesus knew that the human mind is not easily rearranged. People are not easily convinced of things that require them to change their action or even their purpose, especially when it involves what the 24/7 media is and money and power. But for those minds and hearts would be pierced by the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit that would change many. And many would come to know the world like they never known it before, because the world is undergoing a shift like nothing that anyone has ever experienced. And we're experiencing Bible times right today as we live. And the fruit of those seeds planted in those days when John the Baptist began preaching and calling for repentance would spread like wildfire throughout the movement called the Way. As with any movement, John's initial call would merely set the tone for what was to come. Jesus had been born 30 years before, and the time of waiting was almost over. The prophecy would be fulfilled, the one that Isaiah foretold, that God had broken through, and now change would come to the world and to God's people. John's question to all of us is, will you want to be a part of it? And I hope and pray you're not only a part of it, but you're growing in that love and faith that Christ put into your heart. So the question remains for all of us as well, for Christ to continue to move in the presence of His Holy Spirit. How much change will we allow in our life depends upon you, depends upon me. My father-in-law told me one time when I was in the car business and we were talking about different things, he said, you know, if you're trying to sell that car, it's okay, but if you convince somebody against their will, they'll be of the same opinion still. And so you might get the sale, but you might get the car back too. And he had a point there. Because when we manipulate people, even when it comes to a faith relationship with God, it doesn't happen. You have to have the Spirit of the living God and the transformation that is within you every day of your life, calling us to shift our mind in God's direction. So the question for all of this is, will you allow Christ into your mind and into your heart? And if you do, those seeds of faith will fall upon you and everyone that you meet, and the world will never be the same in Jesus' name. That's what John knew. That's what Jesus knew, and that's what Jesus does.